When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's Sunday, and that means.
Yes. What does it mean?
You know what? That's me. I have we're off to a great start, everybody.
What
I actually had it open. I had the YouTube page open.
Oh, come on.
Off to a great start. Let's go. We're live, pal. We've got a great show for
we're
you.
We're live.
We've got big returns, we've got title changes, and we even have attempted murder. But before we get into all of that,
Multiple times. Allow me
to introduce the crew. I'm Jack Farmer. Howdy. And I'm being joined by Flo Bo. Boys, Flo Bo, two days in a row, we get to chat about the biggest shows in pro wrestling. How you feeling this Sunday evening, Monday morning, depending on where you live?
Well, that's just it. It's a loaded question. Hanging out with Jack Farmer is always a waste of my time, but I love wrestling, so there's a balance. But to record this, it is almost 1 o'clock in the morning Eastern time, Eastern Daylight Time, after Double or Nothing. And shout out to those people on the East Coast being in the chat, because they're going through it. They're up since, like, what, 7 p.m. with this one? So props to them.
Yeah, if you're in the East Coast, let us know. But also, I want to give a shout out to Tommy O, who is in the crowd. Bella, you're going to have to let us know what it was like in the crowd, especially as we go through all the different moments. Yes, what a show, especially being there live. Yeah, let us know as we go through these big moments. This was a great time. You know, again, for those of you who joined us yesterday, thank you so much for joining us for King and Queen of the Ring. Now it's AEW Double or Nothing. These premium live event pay-per-view recaps are new, Flobo, to Wrestling Inc. Well, kind of like Orange Cassidy's music. It was there, and then it was gone, and now it's back again. So it means a lot to us, and I would like for you to expound upon it, how important it is that people are joining us to show the big wigs that it's good that we continue to do these.
Yeah, absolutely. The pirates that we cannot name here on this podcast have been looking to experiment with these pay-per-view or premium live event after shows. And so it's really important to let us know how you feel, whether you're listening on the audio versions or your audio podcasting platform of choice, or commenting below on YouTube live or after the fact. Let them know what you like, what you didn't like, what you like the after shows. Do you want to change the lineup? Do you want more special effects? Everything's on the table here as you work this out.
Yeah, feel free to just add all the different things in the comments, especially if it's like, get someone to like be our personal assistants, you know, have Wrestling Inc. pay for our personal assistants, maybe provide craft services while we're providing these services.
What's that even look like? We're in different locations.
You know, just I think that, you know, just as much, maybe we should get free airfare for when we travel for things. Just let them know. Let them know to just keep on backing up the Brinks, baby. but a big question that goes into a show like this is, especially when you're comparing yesterday's show to today's show, and I just want to front it because I know a lot of people are going to talk about it, and so I'd like for us to just get it out of the way before we get into the details.
Get it out.
The show, is the length of these different shows. And
sure.
I know a lot of people will talk about the bang for your buck versus what's a better, more tightly run show. So I did the most scientific thing you can do and put a poll on Twitter to see what people would say. I put a poll and it said, do you prefer short, tight shows or longer, more bang for your buck shows? This poll assumes that two nights is not an option. So that was the poll.
Loaded.
73.5% say they prefer the shorter shows, and we had 166 votes in there. So, so that was the results. I'd like everyone to know, as Self says, scientific. Yes, it is scientific.
It wasn't. They know. They know an X poll is the least scientific thing on the planet. It's lurking time.
You know, I would like everyone's opinion in the chat. We have Ed Shield says, I want my money. Mm-hmm. Ricky's saying, I agree. I'm assuming with the results of the poll. Flobo, what's your take? Again, I want to get this out before we get into the show. Single match to be bombarded with this commentary. Do you prefer the shorter, tighter shows? Or you're like, hey, I want to see this person and this person and this person and this person and this person on these big shows?
First of all, I got to give a shout out to everyone lurking. I know you don't have time to say anything. But we definitely appreciate your presence there in spirit. But so this is where I'm torn. I think it comes down to the business model of it all. Over in WWE, there's a premium live event thing. You have the Peacock subscription, and they're telling you these events on Saturday night are important. So I'm okay with a tight show there because I know what I'm getting into. But because there's infrequent numbers of pay-per-views on the AEW side, and the fact these matches are going to be like dream matches, I understand the rationale of getting your money's worth. But I say this, in a world where a cheeseburger costs $15, I'm okay with a 7-match pay-per-view being the price they're charging for. Let's be real. At the same time, though, people can tell me what they want in their pay-per-views. If they want 25 matches, they can. But if someone gave me a pay-per-view event and I paid the full price and it was 7 matches, I wouldn't even bat an eye. So I understand both sides, but for me, keep it tight as you can.
Jose, by the way, leaving the MGM Grand Garden now. Crazy show, and now I'm lurking. Thanks for coming through. Let us know. Again, by the way, as we're chatting, feel free to pop in with any moments or things that stood out to you as being part of the crowd. What's up, Maria? I'll give a shout out to everyone in a little bit. Yeah, I am a fan individually. Personally, now look, we're going to go through this, and I thought today was a killer show. I think that individually, every match was great. I was actually very well surprised. AEW, they always kill it with these big shows. It was long, though, and to put a little bit of perspective on that, I am famously crabby about movies that go over 2 hours. So I am
famously
crabby. Like, I get stopped in the streets and like, hey, aren't you the guy that hates it when TV shows are an hour and 17 minutes? And I'm like, yes, I am. Make it two episodes. What are we doing here?
Right.
So, that's where I like the short, I like the 5-match short show. But everything is fit, and I feel like a lot of these other matches, they're great, but we can put them into the Dynamites and Collisions and stuff like that.
Right. Well, the thing is, there's a lot of inventory to fill up matches. So the fact that AEW is able to have a Dynamite this week, a Collision, and do this show shows like the talent. But you're right. There is a lull. It's impossible to have an individual event. Doesn't matter if it's wrestling or fireworks, to have everyone be locked in for 5 hours. It's just not the way we're built. So I get the whole being crabby famously about the whole time thing.
Yeah. Of course, Ed Shields telling me to stop being crabby. It's how I was born, Ed Shields. Speaking
of Tacoma, really? Why are you crabby in Tacoma? what was so bad in the Pacific Northwest?
Have you been to Tacoma?
Okay. I mean, is that crabby?
this Swerve's a crabby fella too. Have you ever listened to him?
He just looks crabby.
I'm a fan of Swerve, but it's not like he walks out as a bundle of joy every time we see him.
Why did you say hello? Just say good day, sir.
Maybe he's just waiting for one of us to ask how he's doing.
Yeah, it's his face, man. I'm just saying he's born that way.
Solve says Jack looks pretty fresh for being crabby. I'll be honest with you, you might be able to tell. I got out in the sun a little today, getting a little sunburned. I got a feeling I'm gonna have to put some aloe vera on the old face here in a moment.
Aloe vera in this economy? Well,
maybe not as much as Jack Perry, but we'll get into that in a little.
That man is tanned. I tell you what, he is definitely Jungle Boy these days.
Lots of folks here joining us. Really appreciate you guys. coming through here, especially late on a Sunday. Before we get into the actual show, there is something that happened on the show I want to talk about specifically, and that is that they are bringing back the Owen Hart Invitational Tournament. This time around, winners get world title shots at All in Wembley. And I'm a big fan of tournaments. I get famously a big fan of tournaments, almost as famously as I am crabby about long movies. But I love that they've added the world title stipulation. One, because All in Wembley is a huge show, so there's weight to that. But also last year, the big critique was that there's no stakes. And what do you get if you win? Now there's something if you win. I like this. What are your thoughts?
I like the idea of giving the Owen Hart tournament stakes. I like the fact that Dr. Martha Hart is down to still work with a wrestling company, but the timing was kind of odd. I mean, we were just a little bit more than 24 hours removed from King of the Ring, another tournament that granted its winners on the men and women's side a summertime World Heavyweight Championship. And you can't say, well, you shouldn't compare the two. They're different things. I'm like, you can't, but there was also a Vince McMahon reference today. So I like it. I understand the tournament itself was great and needed the stakes, but they came just a bit too soon after King and Queen of the Ring.
Everyone in the chat, let me know what you think. I feel like that's, I get why you're saying it. I feel like it's a little unfair. I mean, winning something for a title shot isn't exactly exclusive to one wrestling company.
You can't tell me this announcement could have been made on Dynamite. It could have been, but this is literally done the day after King of the Ring. Like, are you kidding me?
They've always announced the Owen Hart tournament at Double or Nothing.
I'm just saying this particular stake could have been announced on Wednesday.
But they can't announce the stake before you announce the match.
No. You can say we have big news about the tournament or whatever. But the whole, hey, by the way, you're going to go to have your title shot at All In, could be done Wednesday. It could be an opportunity whenever, but All In could have been not on Wednesday.
Then it would have been 3 days of people going, what are the stakes? What are they doing it for? What ever happened to the other
guys? So you tell me AEW's never said we have a big announcement come Wednesday, check it out? Never? They never said that? They've never had a big announcement? Ever?
And look at how people react to it. So now they're adjusting what they're doing. Everyone complains when they do that.
You make me famously crabby.
So now they're saying, okay, we're going to adjust that. And you're like, well, I can't complain about what they're doing now.
I wasn't, but I didn't think there was an odd timing. I like the idea. I just feel like it was an odd timing.
You know? Ed Shields says, 100% Jack. Jack, you're right. Ed Shields, you're my favorite right now.
Hey.
I don't pick favorites, but you're
people agree with me, too, in the chat. I like how you skipped over that part.
Sure. I have the power of the chat.
I hate it all.
I'll say it, I'm on AEW payroll. Buddy, I wouldn't be asking everyone to get Wrestling Inc. to buy me all this stuff if I was on AEW's payroll.
Good point.
But by the way, AEW, if you could send some craft catering to my place, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world.
They're going to DoorDash things from Jacksonville? Nice.
By the way, we got John Erickson.
Seriously, you're only picking the people that agree with you? You're only highlighting the comments that agree with you? Ridiculous.
By the way, no, Secular Belt says Flovo's right. Tony said he decided this around Christmas, and that man loves announcements.
There you go.
Maria says announcing it tonight makes it feel more important. So, there's a lot of back and forth there. But in any case, let us know how you feel about the tournament. There is something I noticed, though. One of our one of the family members here with us joining us today said, I want to find the comment. It was really eye-opening to me. I can't find it, but they said, hey, Jack and Flo, right? And I realized, you know, hey, Jack and Flo, that's great. You know, that sounds normal. And I realized that's why you hate Jamie over at Progressive. You're Flo buddies.
Oh, no.
that's where all the anti-Jamie comes from.
Flo is an icon of insurance. We're talking about better than cavemen. We're talking about better than geckos. Flo equals car insurance. Jamie came out of nowhere to try and take her thunder. I acknowledge only Flo the OG because she's an OG. That's the reason why.
That's it. If you watched one episode of our after show, you'll get that joke.
Just one. Yeah.
There's one. You get one. But in any case, let's get to the show. As always, though, I want to give a shout out to everyone who's joined us here today in the chat. Aaron Mick, always here early. J.R. Smith, Laura Rock, Tommy O. Always got to give an O. by the way, Solv as well, Armando, Chris Bucks, George Bartley, Ricky Zaldivar, John Johnson, Jay Willie, Huffman Elite Train. Haven't seen you in a while, Huffman Elite Train, and where have you been? Of course, Josie Lurkin, Daniel Barry. We got Danny in the house.
Nice.
Good to see you. Jose RTS. It was Adonde, said Farmer Flo. What's up, guys? Adonde, great graphic designer. Check him out over on Instagram. Troy J, Downtown CM Brown, Killer of Demons, John Erickson, Victor as well. Lots of folks coming through here. Appreciate y'all. And again, if you're just lurking, that's cool too. But as I always ask for Georgina, good to see you.
Lurk Squad.
GG, Georgina, good to see you. Majestic Marie. Did I shout out Majestic Marie? Always got to get
you
in.
Should.
And everyone else, appreciate you guys. I always ask for likes, comments, shares, and subscribes. But these PLEs are the most important as far as getting us to do these more often. So please leave a like as soon as the show's done. If you're joining us, just hop in and leave a quick comment. Those 5-star reviews comments do really help us out as well. Let's get this going. Stocking you with the dog emoji, always get a shout out. We start with the pre-show. We're gonna get through the pre-show real quick. Thunder Rosa versus Deonna Purrazzo. Story is that Thunder Rosa promised if she won the title against Toni Storm, she would give Purrazzo a shot. Purrazzo took out Mariah May, but Thunder Rosa did not win the title. And now the two have had issues ever since. Got the crowd early on throughout. Purrazzo wins by grabbing the rope. Does this story, I want your thoughts on the match, and does the story have legs to continue on Dynamite for you?
The answer is yes. I mean, Thunder Rosa is basically the Cody Rhodes of AEW right now, had a title that was sequestered or relinquished. Excuse me, not sequestered. It was relinquished. It was a whole thing about getting it back, and it's been roadblock after roadblock. And here's someone with Deonna Purrazzo, the Virtuosa. That's evolved as to what the Virtuosa is, but I always felt that there's another gear that she could hit in this AEW Women's Division. So this one serves both. Thunder Rosa has a new roadblock to the title, and then the Virtuosa has a new chance to really reintroduce herself to the AEW crowd. I liked it. I even love how she won by cheating. It was great.
Yeah, I thought this was a really good one. I was really happy with how this turned out. Also, Thunder Rosa always delivers with her entrance gear. I love the Elvis-inspired entrance gear while still having her Thunder Rosa flair to it. So that was really cool.
You're an Elvis guy, by the way? I'm just curious. What? Are you an Elvis guy?
He's okay.
Wow. You love the gear, but he's just Elvis himself. You're just like, what?
I mean, I'm not like, I don't like listen to his music every day, but like,
you should. It's an icon.
I thought the Elvis comeback special, he was awesome. I
mean, that was the best one.
All leather outfit. Come on.
Yeah, that was the best one.
Tut Graf says, loves me some cheating. Tommy O says, probably the quietest match of all. To be fair, that was like the earliest part of the show. Virtuosa is one of the coolest names ever. I feel like I'd never call her Deonna Purrazzo when I'm thinking about it. I was like, oh yeah, the Virtuosa versus Thunder Rosa.
Yeah, I like it.
We also got, these are the pre-shows, so we're going to kind of rattle through them. Cage of Agony versus the Acclaimed. Max is fired up for this one. It boils over when Cage tries to use a chair. Golden Knight mascot stops him. Billy Gunn rolls up Bishop Khan to get the win. This felt like peak buy-in match. It's fun, lots of people, stuff happening, hometown crowd, mascot gets involved. This is a good way to kind of like warm up the crowd, was it not?
I'm with you. I thought for some reason, maybe I'm just kind of jaded, but I thought the mascot I was going to reveal to be somebody we didn't think about in this matchup. But hey, didn't happen. Everyone loves the Acclaimed. I think the IWC said this on Twitter, which I'm agreeing with you and the IWC, that Bowens is prime for his own spotlight. Maybe not so much a singles run in my necessary case, but it does feel like he's become the leader of that group over the past couple weeks. And of course, Cage of Agony, trying to figure out what they're doing post Gates of Agony necessarily, but I didn't put up a good fight tonight.
Actually, it's still the Gates of Agony. It's just when Brian Cage is with them, they are the Cage of Agony. The Gates of Agony are still technically a thing. There is no post Gates of Agony.
Actually, we're dead. Yes, is what they claim.
By the way, I will continue to campaign until he's no longer with the company for Billy Gunn for world champion. Every time I'm in there, I'm like,
AEW world champion?
Yeah. Tell me Billy Gunn couldn't just wreck 90% of the roster if he wanted to.
Yeah, if wrestling was MMA, but it's not. Are you kidding me? If Billy Gunn was the
we rolled Daddy Ass, Billy Gunn.
There's so many championships in that company. He could probably get one like Okada's and be fine. But you're telling him that he wants to be the top guy. You want to see him beat Swerve in the middle of the ring one time and be the
champ? There to be a transitional champion.
Oh, who's that going to be?
I don't know.
That's super important, Jack.
I don't know. Someone else.
Some jabroni, yeah.
A Majestic Marie has my back, says, I love Billy Gunn so much, I'd like it too. Yes. You know what's crazy about this? As I was watching this, is we're covering the pre-show right now, right? Yesterday for WWE, we covered the pre-show. Something I've kind of taken for granted in how good wrestling has gotten, Flobo, is back when we were back in what we would call the good old days,
right?
The pre-show was like nothing. You never watched the pre-show. Like that was never a part of the show. Like that was. You wouldn't even consider that canon. Like it didn't happen.
Absolutely.
But now these days, that is absolutely part of the show. Just talk to me about how it's kind of cool that's how much wrestling's grown.
Yeah, you got to give a lot of a tip to the cap to mixed martial arts, right? Because they had so many prelim matches and real matches. But drawing from some of that makes sense. I remember the days of, there was Sunday Night Heat for sure, but there was also the free-for-all, which was just all promos. Because it was kind of like, we're having the show, but to give them time to get yourself in there, get your snacks, and what have you. But I think about 15 years ago, it was really decided, look, these programs are a last-ditch effort. They have the last buy to really set the tone for the crowd that's live. Let's give them something to cheer about so when the lights go on, the pyro goes on, there aren't a cold audience. And so you get matches like this that totally could have main event any of the Dynamite or any of the Collision up front for free.
Yeah, so I thought that was great. We get to the start of the actual show here, and this is where things really picked up. AEW International Championship match. A lot of people thought this was match of the night, by the way. Roderick Strong versus Will Ospreay. Going into this, Roderick Strong had busted open Will Ospreay pretty bad. Ospreay still has a loose alignment with Don Callis. Early on, the Undisputed Kingdom gets involved. Eventually, Ospreay gets back in it. That's when Wardlow comes in. Wardlow gets caught and stopped. Then they have a few beautiful sequences with Roderick Strong. When Roderick Strong is down, Don Callis says, use the Tiger Driver. Ospreay almost does, but then eventually he hits the Stormbreaker and gets the win anyways. New international champion, Will Ospreay. Flobo Boyce.
Congratulations to the new champ and Will Ospreay. Here is somebody who was arguably the biggest signing, and that's including Okada and Mercedes Moné over the last year. And Will Ospreay, bro, they love his theme music, kind of what old AEW was, the classic stuff. Roderick Strong, the perfect foil for this ascendant mark for Will Ospreay. But look, man, I got to be honest with you, Jack. I'm not a fan of this Don Callis guy. He's always on commentary. He's getting involved in matches. He has those stupid, shaded, rose-colored glasses. You know, he needs to go away and let Ospreay do his thing on solo and without a family. You know what I'm saying?
He's tremendous, Flobo Boy.
Ah, prove it.
That's one of the things. I don't really understand the relationship of Don Callis with Will Ospreay because they never interact. I've never really seen Will Ospreay do a whole lot that implies that he even knows that he's a part of Will Ospreay. I don't really understand this connection, and I don't really understand what Don Callis's group is, because you would think it's, we want to win championships and whatnot, but they're always fighting within each other, and it feels like they're not really fighting for championships unless there's a personal reason that set it up. You know what I mean? Like, it's a weird, I think Don Callis is a phenomenal voice. I think he's great at what he does. I just don't really get what this is.
Look, you and I both know who scrolls social media. Not everyone needs to have a brand. You know what I'm saying? Will Ospreay is great. People love him. They're cheering his name. He found a way to win, and he won such an emphatic faction. I think, as of right now, that international championship is up there in the conversation for the most hotly contested championship divisions in AEW. I know this TNT. I know there's a world championship. We'll talk about that a little later on. But I think the international championship has hit a new level with Ospreay holding it. But I don't know, man. Just separate yourself from that Don Callis guy and you'll reach for the stars, my friend.
Yeah, I have a feeling, and people are predicting it in the chat here. Maria saying the family is going to turn on him soon. I kind of get the feeling that's going to happen. I guess I just, there was never a moment where Ospreay really was like, yes, I'm working with Don Callis and this is my guy. And they're not like doing, I never see them in promos together. It's just a weird loop.
It's like
connection.
Don Callis is like the HOA, just showing up, shouting things and leaving. I hate it.
The HOA, not only is that a good comparison, the HOA would be a great stable. Just
boo them. I don't even have a house. Boo.
They just come in and make things difficult for everybody.
Right. These edges are too tall.
I do love Roderick Strong. I'm glad that he's getting a chance to really shine. He hit the Canadian Maple Leaf, Lance Storm's old finisher at one point, so he's going to be a favorite of mine forever. A big fan of this one. Everyone in the chat, let me know, did you think this was your match of the night, this one? I think a lot of people thought it was. If you like the very active, very athletic stuff, I think it certainly was. I know you have a different opinion, and we'll get to that in a little
bit. It was biased because it was a Lance Storm move, which I understand.
Tell me the Canadian Maple Leaf, that roll through into the single crab, is not awesome. That is an awesome move.
I will not say that. All I am saying is that you're biased with anyone who uses a move from Lance Storm. I get that.
Because he's the greatest of all time.
Debatable.
If I could be serious.
He's always serious.
Greatest of all time. Maria says this was match of the night. Solv says this was match of the night. So great, but not match tonight, Eddie Shields. Tommy O, this was definitely a top match. Last thing on this before we go, because we got a lot of stuff to cover tonight.
Okay.
I was just thinking, how cool would it be to have to go to an arena filled with people like that and have everyone chanting your name like they do Ospreay? Like, that would blow my mind if I walked into an arena and it's like, Farmer. I'd be like, let's go.
Ever do that? Why would they? What? No. But I will say for everyone else who's not you, yes, that's a dream when you're a kid, right? You win the championship, top rope, everyone chants your name, but he got it both ways, coming down to the ring and leaving. That's awesome. Can't knock that, man.
Ricky says, not match tonight. Ed Shield says it was damn great, though. Maria, though, Lance Storm should have been WCW World Champion. I agree. Absolutely.
Oh, come on.
Maria,
like four different titles.
I do think we have the smartest group here that is a part of our chat. And Maria is a perfect example of that.
Sure.
Tut Graf as well. Farmer.
You're all
farmer.
Encouraging him. Please don't do this. This is going right to his head. This is going right to his dome.
So this was, I think, the thing that from a what's going to happen next standpoint is probably the moment of the night. Adam Cole comes out, says he hates everyone, but he's one of the best, and soon the devil will get his due. Video packages someone in a room full of MJF stuff is seen gathering his things before MJF shows up in a Triple H style jacket, kicks Adam Cole in the nuts, and hits him with a brain buster, says no more friendship, back to being driven by hate. Makes it very clear he's going to be a part of AEW for a very long time. There was a lot of stuff said in this promo. I think that MJF basically said, look, the silliness that a lot of people weren't happy with last year, that's over with. I think obviously he's going to be here for a long time. And it felt like this was sort of a ceremonial way to say he's not going to have a rivalry with Adam Cole. Like, that's done and over with. So he can move on. At least that's what I took away from it. What did you take away from this, Flobo?
Well, I will say this. I think MJF was the poochie of AEW. Every time MJF wasn't on screen, people were asking, where was MJF? And we finally got it. But it was another timing issue, right? Adam Cole came back, looked like he was reinvigorated. Looks like he was somebody that was struggling to make himself look more formidable. And he was formidable for about 90 seconds until MJF came back in a blaze of glory. He's out there getting limped off. Cool thing to see, cool visuals. And also, if you're an AEW fan or AEW faithful, MJF is basically, it sounds like he's committed to the brand. So everyone looked good. MJF looked stronger. That jacket, leather jacket combo, I mean, it's going to be memes for days. I like it. But the real loser here is Adam Cole. Here's somebody that was also making their return. Their pants got stomped out and they got helped to the back. Do we believe in Adam Cole being strong for the next time being? Because it didn't look good here tonight.
Well, I think that was actually one of my questions, or something I was wondering. And Majestic Marie here says, was it just me, or was the revenge on Adam Cole not really the focal point of MJF's return?
Exactly. It
was. I think that's exactly the point. I think he basically, they did. I think this is what I think, and I have no idea. I could be absolutely incorrect here, but I don't know. I don't think Adam Cole is coming back right now. I think he literally just came back so that we could visually see the stuff with Adam Cole and MJF is over. We're moving past it. And now MJF can move on, because I don't think anyone wants to see that story play out. I don't think anyone really cares. And I think that they want to just say, this is done. MJF's going back to what made us love him in the first place. He's not doing all the kangaroo kicks. He's not going to pay, like, just take the move, take that, move on. And I think that's why. I think that's what that was, personally. But do you think Adam Cole is back after this?
I think you're right. I don't think Adam Cole is 100%, because he literally said, I'm making my ankle heal. But the question I have for you then, Jack, is did you need to fly Adam Cole out? Then you could have him at home and just had MJF return and say, I hate this guy, I'm moving on, or the devil sucks. But he really stomped him out of oblivion to the point where Adam Cole does come back. Whoever that first opponent is, Adam Cole has to be a tomato can, or else we don't believe in him ever again.
Yeah, I think you do need to bring him back, because I think we need to visually see this is over. Otherwise, everybody would be fantasy booking. What's going to happen with Adam Cole? When are they going to pay this off? This was their way, I believe, of saying, this is paid off. This is done. We're moving on. And I actually think that Adam Cole is someone that, if once he's healthy, absolutely can get back in the good graces very quickly. I don't think it's going to be that hard for him to get, because he's so good on the mic. He has such great matches. I think he'll be just fine. But for now, I think that was what that was really all about. My further question for you here is, he came out, clearly it looked like a homage to Triple H. He also used a brain buster. That's a move he doesn't use usually. Do you think that we're going to get a different side of MJF? Like, is he still going to be the scarf-wearing, suit-wearing guy, or are we going to get kind of a different look, different vibe of MJF going forward?
I really hope so. And I don't think, to answer your question, I am not sure. I think we saw the Burberry scarf. I think there's going to be elements of that. If you notice, the jean part of his leather jacket jean combination had the pattern, even though it was monochrome. But I do think this is kind of his Triple H moment. I think it's a very cool way to say, hey, look, we know the better than you stuff. We're on board with that. You know what your name is. Give us another angle, right? Because if the rumors were, hey, you're a good star, but you'll be even greater in Stanford, and you doubled down in Jacksonville, now is your opportunity to show the world what you could do and what that next level would be without the help of the WWE machine. So I hope so, but, you know, I've been wrong before.
Yeah, I think he's very talented. I think he'd be fine if he came back and did the exact same thing, but I think all the greats, and of course, you've got someone like Chris Jericho there who's going to tell him, look, you need to adapt. You need to change. You can't be the guy you were 5 years ago. You've got to try something new if you want to continue to grow. And so I'm hoping he kind of grows beyond what he was doing and shows us something that maybe we don't expect. He's great. Whatever he does is going to be great. I'm sure it'll be fine.
You mean the revenge tour?
Who did he get revenge? He just got revenge. His tour was very short.
Okay, cool.
It's one night in Vegas, revenge tour.
A residency. Yeah, what a location.
Ed saying MJF is the best thing in wrestling. Maria saying MJF reign of terror. And Droid J said people would bitch about not. Am I allowed to say that? Sorry. People would about not paying off stores.
Get one
without this.
Get one.
I think I'll be okay. Sorry. Everyone, let us know what you think is next for MJF. Fun pick 'em, Flobo. First rivalry he has. Who's his first match, but first like rivalry? Like, who's his first person he's up against?
Well, the right answer is I don't know, Jack. There's just so many formidable candidates. But if I had the pen, if I had the book, there's only one guy I want to see him smack around, and his name is Adam Copeland.
Oh, you had me. I was like, if you say Adam Cole, I'm gonna be so.
Yeah, Adam Cole deserves to get smacked around.
Okay. Ed Sheeran says Wardlow. See, I hope he stays far. I hope they stay far away from each other. I feel like
that storyline was too good.
I feel like we've already been down that road, and it's just gonna make everyone go, they're doing this again. I like the Adam Copeland one. We got a trios match. Bang Bang Gang versus Death Triangle. Story here is the Bang Bang Gang tormented Pac, but now Pac has his old pals back. titles are on the line because of a match on Collision. Pretty quick, fast-paced, fun match, but the story is Juice Robinson return and help the Bang Bang Gang get the win and stay still champions. I popped like when Juice Robinson came back, I popped like it was John Cena showing up on AEW television. I was like, Juice! I don't know why. I was so fired up Juice Robinson came back. Tell me about your thoughts about the match. What does this mean with Juice Robinson coming back? I want your thoughts on this whole thing.
And you're the only one. Look, man, I like, I'm not saying his name. Stone firm Juice Robinson, but come on, man. Fine.
Here, read Ed Shield. Just read Ed Shield's comment.
Ed Shield says rock hard. Yeah. Can we say that too?
Majestic Marie says, I love everyone in the chat. Let us know if you agree with Flobo Boys.
It was hyperbole for a point. Look, you had Bullet Club Gold, which over the past week and a half is now just the Bang Bang Gang. We don't use both anymore. Okay, fine, whatever.
It is just Bang Bang Gang. That's how they're written. It's now written that way. So I think Bullet Club Gold is gone.
I call shenanigans and or malarkey. But here's the thing about Death Triangle and Pac Puck. We had that promo too. And Penta and Fenix. These guys have told me they're great together. These guys told me they're a family. Their name is literally Death Triangle, but they can never get the job done. So now we had this matchup. I go, hey, maybe, possibly, I don't like a member of a gun club. Maybe they might lose today. And all of a sudden, Juice Robinson comes and upsets the Alpha card. So I was a little upset with this result because, again, next time Death Triangle's in a match, I go, well, what banana peel are you going to slip on today? You let me know, Pat.
I feel like you're mad that the people that lose all the time lost. That feels like a silly.
Yes, because I am on the anniversary show, Double or Nothing. There should be a giant thing where you can't tell who's going to win or who's going to lose. And on paper, Death Triangle were the underdogs, and they didn't even overcome anything.
They were the underdogs, and they lost. Yeah, Flobo, got to break it to you. The underdog usually loses. That's how it works.
I'm not paying $50 for Goliath to go
for
over.
For someone who goes to Vegas as much as you do, you should know this.
Oh, come on. Give me a show. I was like,
there's a lot.
I was like, Juice Robinson, great you're here, but are you kidding me? Really? This is the worst luck group ever.
I love Juice Robinson. He is so fired up for everything. I swear. I have a feeling that they'll be like, hey, can you wait here real quick? I got to run inside and use the bathroom bag. We're going to wait outside. Yeah. He's just like so fired up. Like, I absolutely love it. Tuckgraf says, I'm here for Flobo's enthusiasm.
It's blind rage, Tuck. That's what it is.
So I love the pieces of Death Triangle. I love Phoenix. I love Penta. I love Pac even. But I think at some point you just gotta, these guys, this is their lot in life. This is where they go. I also think that Jay Wyatt could be a world champion level star. I want to see him. I would rather he win than anyone else. So I love this. I do got to ask though, because this happened right after the previous segment with MJF, Adam Cole, Juice Robinson returns. Too many returns on one show?
Well, absolutely not. Like I said, if you're going into the pay-per-view model, and I assume, because we are fortunate enough, and I understand that what we do, we cover wrestling, so we have the means to watch things. But if I'm somebody saving up for the show and I'm paying $50 of whatever my job is and how many hours I work, yes, stuff as much as you can, because these people work their hard-earned money to see a show. So, yes, put all the returns. You can't have too many returns. You can't have too many matches, I guess. It's only when we get to be in our little situations where we go, oh, man, we have to review everything as things are long. So, stuff it all.
I enjoy reviewing. That's why I do this, Flobo. But we have – this is where I put on my ratings, buy rate spectacles. And – I have to ask, this is where I know some people would say, if you're going to have these returns, if MJF's returning, you should advertise it so people buy the show. Should they have advertised this or should it have not been advertised?
So I am torn. If you want to tell me what we saw, I would say I would advertise Adam Cole's return and not advertise MJF's. So I think you could pick and choose if you would like to. But at the end of the day, surprises are what made AEW the talk of the town. I think when Adam Cole debuted the first time, when Bryan Danielson debuted the first time, it was, oh my gosh, did you see this? So I get them going back to that. But you don't want to advertise everything because then that makes things seem longer. We're sitting there going, hey, when is XYZ happening?
I, for the record, I want to say I'm glad it went the way it did. I don't care. I agree with you. Can't have too many. You can't give me too much stuff. I'm never going to be like, there's too many cookies in this cookie jar. What am I going to do?
Yeah, you know,
give me all the, and I don't care if you advertise it or not. You know, I'm going to watch it anyway. So I don't care, but these are the questions that I know someone's going to tweet about later. So I like to cover them. AEW Women's Championship match. Timeless, Toni Storm versus Serena Deeb, pro wrestling versus sports entertainment in a lot of ways. As the match goes on, Mariah May wants to throw in the towel for Toni Storm when Storm is in a submission, but Luther stops her. For context, Storm threw the towel in on Mariah May to protect her recently. Mm-hmm. Toni sees this and thinks it's Luther trying to throw in the towel and gets mad at him. Battle continues and Toni retains. I really enjoyed the story here of the throwing in the towel. I think that's a very interesting little wrinkle in what's going on there. Your thoughts on the match and did the right person win?
Ooh, the right person is definitely a hard question, so I'll say that to the end. Look, there were two women's matches on this pay-per-view, and we'll get to the other one momentarily, but I actually was pleasantly surprised, not because of talent, but just because of time given, but the technical moves and holes in this one. Serena Deeb is someone who has been a nice hand on that roster, being able to be involved. Remember her feud with Sheeta about a year ago? Toni Storm has been one of the better characters in the brand. You may not even like the division, but Toni Storm has been a highlight. So when we actually got like moves and holes and hammerlocks and snapmares and toe holes, I go, oh my goodness, everyone talks about how quote unquote bad the women's division is in AEW. Well, here's a bit of that classic stuff with character beats as well. More of that, please. I enjoyed it. I do think Serena Deeb needs her moment in the sun. I kind of hope she becomes the next AEW women's champion, but now isn't the time. Toni Storm is just on fire right now, and to the victor go the spoils.
Yeah, I love this matchup. I think Toni Storm has been killing it. I kind of thought Serena Deeb should have won because I feel like Toni Storm has so much going on that she can continue to have many entertaining stories while Serena Deeb could defend the title against other people. And you get more people onto the, under the program, more women on the program, more contenders and things like that, as you're trying to build up that division more and more. But that said, the crowd absolutely loved Toni Storm. I felt bad for Serena Deeb at certain times because clearly she was supposed to be the one we were supposed to be sympathetic for. But the crowd was wildly behind Toni Storm here. Do you, if you've got the pen, Flobo, do you do that hard pivot and just say Toni Storm is a good guy? Or do you keep the track of her being kind of a ne'er-do-well?
I think you have as much leeway as either making her, and I, even though it kind of goes against what I believe in, making her the rascal, making her someone that can be seen as an antagonist or a ne'er-do-well, but then also be able to pop the humor if you want to. AEW doesn't really do humor all that much. They're a very serious show, but I can tell you one thing. When Toni Storm just shows up and interacts with Luther, her clips are one of the most shared of the night, even if she has a match or not. You don't want to lose that by having her go, rah, rah, we can do it and stuff like that. So yes, keep her as snarky as she is. Maybe change a little bit of a rogues gallery and have her ride that line.
And Majestic Marie saying, still waiting for my invitation to talk about Toni Storm, Jack. It's not my call. I don't make the calls here. I have very little power at wrestling.
Apparently, no.
Very little power.
You put the quotes on the screen.
I have the what?
You can put the quotes on the screen.
I can put the quotes up. Yeah. The ones that say how great I am.
Yeah, exactly. That's power. No one man should have all that power.
Look, you're right, Flobo. I do have the power.
I'll take that. Thank you.
But this was a great one. I enjoyed it, and I'm glad they did well. Orange Cassidy had a match with Trent Beretta. Story here is Trent believes Orange Cassidy is selfish and uses people, and he has ended the career of Chuck Taylor. Trent ended the career of Chuck Taylor. Now Orange Cassidy wants revenge. Again, Don Callis has a loose relationship with Orange Cassidy, who comes out to his old theme and a black t-shirt to show that he is having a little bit of a darker side to himself. Heated matchup. It was a straight-up match, and it ended with a straight-up pinfall reversal against Trent Beretta. Post-match, Trent says, "I'm not doing this. I'm done." Left the arena through the crowd, and later Callis says on Wednesday he's going to give Orange Cassidy a contract. This one, I am adamant. I think Trent should have won this one. I'm kind of disappointed about the end of this, and I'm a big Orange Cassidy fan. I just feel like if now Orange Cassidy's beat him twice, what are we doing with? I don't know where you go here. I feel like it's a dead end, and I also still don't understand the relationship with Don Callis. This is the second person Don Callis is courting that is clearly a good guy, and he's a bad guy. And they were against clear bad. It's a weird thing. What are your
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's your take on this whole thing?
So in my notes on the Trent Beretta, I like this run from Trent. Trent was robbed and Trent is done. Imagine that in the same matchup here. Look, I understand Trent as it is right now isn't the most colorful guy on the roster. He doesn't have the most majestic hairstyles. He's a guy that was spurned from being in this group of mediocrity, the best friends, and try to win a breakout. Those guys have to win those challenge matches. And you're right. You lose two of those back to back. I go, and look, we love Orange Cassidy. Many, many weeks, especially during the pandemic, were made brighter by thumbs up Orange Cassidy. But dare I say, he needs to take a little break. Maybe go in elsewhere. Maybe hang out on Collision. Maybe take a couple weeks off. I do think he's suffering from overexposure. It was Trent's time tonight. It didn't happen. And I can tell you, it's the one result that made me go,
Yeah. No, I because... Orange Cassidy is a what I refer to in wrestling as a made man, where he could lose and he'll be fine. Nothing's going to happen to him if he loses matches. There are certain people that it won't hurt him. And I feel like he's at that point because he's been, done so well and he's such a favorite. Trent, though, a win here would have, I think, really raised his stock. And I think it really hurts his stock to have not won. The people in the chat are guessing that Trent may be retired. I'm not going to say that until it's a little confirmed. I feel like something more will be happening there. If he was retiring, I think he would have said, "I quit," or something more definitive. But Maria seems to agree. I agree 100%. Orange Cassidy is way too protected. Majestic Marie saying, yes, Trent should have won. Adonde saying definitely should have had been a push forward for Trent.
Yeah, why not be in the buy-in then? If it's Orange Cassidy to win that match as quickly as he did, it should have been the buy-in. It should have been at 3:30 in the afternoon
Pacific. Yeah. I feel like you could have something with Trent, and I don't think you're gonna have that until he gets a meaningful win. And I thought this could have been it. But you know, I don't know. I guess we'll see. But two losses in a row to someone who's supposed to be someone you really hate is a tough thing to come back from. FTW Championship, the Learning Tree, Chris Jericho versus Hook versus Shibata. Story is Jericho wants to help teach Hook. Hook wants none of it, and Shibata's there. Samoa Joe has been unhappy about the whole thing along the way. The match has some dice, kendo sticks, and tables. Hook is about to win, so Big Bill comes out and pummels Hook until Hook suplexes Big Bill through a table to the outside. Shibata and Hook are about to tap out Jericho together when bounty hunter Brian Keith comes out to help him. Jericho gets the win. This is one I think that I disagree with a lot of people on. The Learning Tree is growing on me. It is okay. Sprouting on me, maybe I should say.
That sounds gross.
It does. Maybe rewind that. We'll take that out in post. Didn't go out the way I wanted it to. I'm kind of enjoying it. I think Big Bill is perfect in his role. And I love that Jericho had security stop Hook from coming after him afterwards. And I love my favorite part about this. Brian Keith being a bit of an actual bounty hunter and coming out to help Chris Jericho.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Brian Keith thing confuses me because on Dynamite, he's the guy that got legs stretched out by both Hook and Shibata at the same time. So If anything, he'll be able to be motivated to do it himself, not necessarily work with Jericho. But hey, whatever. Whatever gets Brian Keith on TV, I'm all about. I am not a fan of the Learning Tree, not because it's a bad character, but because it just feels like a half character compared to some of the more predominant ones Jericho's had since his run on AEW. Does it compare to the Painmaker? Does it compare to La Champion or even the Ocho? It doesn't. So it's kind of like, okay, it's probably going to be one of his many tag team names he has. Oh, wait, this is a full-on character. It's kind of weird. But I will say calling it the Four of the World Championship is so clever. I'm all about that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I really dig that. It's just so cringy positive. I dig it, and it pops me every time I hear the Learning Tree at the start of this match. It's so good. I dig it, and also like I said, I'm a huge fan of Brian Keith. I love seeing him have something, and I think the Bounty Hunter character is a great character to have in pro wrestling. Much like the APA, I take money for doing work for you. I think that's really cool, and I think that's a cool way to maybe introduce more of that character into AEW.
Do you think it works with the Old West getup, or do you think he has to like APA it up and have the T-shirt and jeans? And
I wanted to keep the Old West
getup. Fair enough.
No one else has it.
It's an honest question. I'm sorry, Jack. It was an honest question. I just
I love the bounty. Bounty Hunter is a ripoff of Taker.
What?
How?
I guess Unforgiven. I don't know.
I like the guy. I mean, I wouldn't mind if he like, you know, as he grows, like updates it or whatever. But I think the general style is cool. If that makes sense.
Sure. I'm all about that. And Shibata's cool, by the way. I didn't give Shibata's flowers. I really love his presence in this match.
Shibata's great. I'm gonna be honest, I didn't follow him like crazy a lot. Like I knew of him and saw some of his stuff before. So I don't know if it could be that guy. It's like I've been following forever. But every time he's on, he does have a presence. Like, yeah, this guy is kind of a killer in the ring.
I like it. I like his character. It's kind of like fun too. So
yeah, he's great. He's someone that I'd love to see start just doing more. And I'd love to see him versus Joe. I think him and Samoa Joe would be a good one down the road. I like Shibata. Just because I want Joe to kill him doesn't mean I don't like him.
Oh, wow. Okay. Worst backhanded friend ever. Just because I want my friend to kill my other friends.
Lobo, you're so fun to do these shows with. I just wish you'd get in a fight with Samoa Joe.
Hey. There's no rematches with that. I go night-night.
Yeah. We got an IWGP World Heavyweight Championship Eliminator match. Jon Moxley versus Takeshita. Moxley has history with the Don Callis family. It goes back a long ways. Callis wanted to recruit Moxley. Moxley said no, so Takeshita hurt his arm, which is basically the story of the match. Takeshita working the arm. And it's mostly Takeshita throughout this matchup before Takeshita tries to introduce a chair, and essentially it costs him. Mox gets the win. I thought going in, this was probably the match I had the lowest expectations of, in the sense that there was not really a lot of stakes. It was an eliminator match. It felt like it was kind of made up in the last moments before the show came on. So I didn't have that much buy into it. I loved this match. I thought it may be one of the best of the night.
Yeah.
There was, at a point, you thought it was. I don't know how the rest of the show went for you, but tell me your thoughts on this match and if what your thoughts of it overall were.
Yeah, I kind of was like you going into it. You said the word eliminator. I go, does that diminish the stakes? So even going into this one, I thought, okay, Takeshita's going to win, and then the rematch or the actual title match is going to be on a Japanese pay-per-view or Forbidden Door in the future. But because of the diminished stakes, my expectations were even lowered. And Takeshita was somebody I always tease him. I tell Jack in our group chat, oh, so I try to make Takeshita happen. No one's really getting involved with Takeshita, but he showed why he should be in that conversation. You really can't have a double or nothing without Moxley. So you have like the icon of the event versus somebody who I had zero expectations with, and they over-delivered. It felt like it was ripped from a New Year's Dash card. It was right in the middle of the show. It was amazing. I thought that was they showed out, even with the story of Moxley's injury. So for a long time, it was my match of the night.
Yeah, Adonde says top three. Ed Shield says match tonight. Might have been match tonight, I should say. Majestic Marie says it's my favorite match. So yeah, I thought this one just really, really was great. I gotta mention though, you talked about the group chat, and going into it, you said Takeshita was winning, but he lost. I just want to let everyone know that.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I mean, it was a miscalculation on my part. I mean, some of my almanac charts were misaligned. Listen, man, it's not important.
I do. So at first I was like probably a lot of people who said, look, if Takeshita was going to lose anyways, why not just have the title on the line? But then someone I saw on Twitter, I wish I kept track of who it was because I like to credit where I can. It brought up a good point. There might be some internal politics over at New Japan Pro Wrestling that you can't just give someone a title shot for whatever reason, you know? So maybe that may have been like what was going on over there. But so that may have been their workaround to it, but it would have been nice if it was for the title. Sure. But in the end, it was still a good matchup. I had to write down this quote because Nigel McGuinness, we got to talk about Nigel McGuinness real quick.
Please do.
An absolute treasure on commentary.
An absolute treasure.
So I can't remember who said it, but they're like, yeah, John Moxley's never going to quit. And Nigel says, we know John Moxley will never quit because he's stupid.
I wrote it down in my notes as well. That's kind of crazy. That was the line where like, oh man, this guy has good commentary. Listen, look, everyone has their opinions about the commentary of AEW, but I think one of the biggest fumbles the E had was letting Logic and making us walk. Here is somebody that can make somebody you absolutely know nothing about and make you, the audience, an expert into what they can do and how they're effective. That is worth his weight in platinum. I'm surprised he's an AEW, but I'm so glad if I'm Tony Khan, you double that man's salary.
Yeah, I definitely want him to continue on. Sonny Sitar said Nigel is good with banter on Shivani. We'll talk about the match in a little bit, but another bit that was just it cracked me up so much was when in the cage match when Adam Copeland crotched himself on the top rope and Tony Schiavone was like, I'd rather bleed than have to land like that. And Nigel goes, yeah, because you actually use your blood.
Oh, man. Dang, Tony. You too?
I was like cheering Nigel on from my living room. I was like, oh!
You're a natural heel. I know that. Exactly. Only if you're a good guy. Jack, is that a good person?
But Nigel, what I said to you in our group chat, he reminds me a lot of like this generation's Jesse Ventura. And I say that because Jesse Ventura obviously would always support the bad guys, but he would also flip that in the face of their commentators, like Gorilla. When the good guys would do something wrong, he'd be like, hey, how come you're cheering that? Why aren't you mad about that? And that's what Nigel does. He doesn't let them get away with stuff like that. Like, again, we'll talk about later in the Anarchy in the Arena, you know, at first they're like, yay, Darby Allin's going to set everyone on fire. But then when he's hung upside down, like, this could really hurt Darby Allin. Like, Nigel would be like, what do you mean? This guy's just trying to light everyone on fire. We got to save that part, but I'm just, sorry. I love Nigel.
With you. I'm with you because I really feel like the through line is violence. So even if you're the good guy and your move is going to like cut off the circulation of someone's breathing tube, he puts it over. He goes, yep, that's a very hard move there. I would not recommend breathing through that. And it's so cool. So like, yes, he has his biases, but he's all about the violence, all about the sport, which is really important when you're on a show where it's wrestling first.
Graf says, I've always known Jack is a heel. He's diabolical in his face.
Oh, no. See, thank you.
Speaking of which, I guess I could have just transitioned here because the next match was the TNT Championship barbed wire steel cage match. Adam Copeland versus Malakai Black started with the Cope Open, turned into House of Black targeting Copeland until they took his wedding ring. Copeland said that was the only thing tethering him to his old straight and narrow version of himself. They set up a barbed wire cage match where if Malakai wins, Copeland joins the House of Black. Copeland rises from hell with the Brood written behind him. The match is a bloody spectacle. Eventually, the House of Black comes out and joins Adam Copeland. Nope. They beat him up instead until Gangrel comes out, helps fight them off. Copeland uses the barbed wire to choke out Malakai Black and is still the champ. Flobo, I don't care how many people predicted it, how much we saw it coming, how obvious it was. I loved Gangrel coming back and spitting blood in people's faces. That was awesome.
Would you want them to do the reveal, or do you want them to walk with Copeland to the entrance? I think there was some people that are disappointed that part didn't happen. The ride together.
Because I like that.
All right, day. All right, fine. I like this. This is great. Something sucked. No, it was my look, you guys both know the chat, and you know I'm not the biggest fan of Adam Copeland. That's just historically been a Flopito thing. So please drag me and drag me alone. But this match here really delivered for all kinds of fronts. Malakai got his stuff in. Copeland shows he can still go. Maso Menos and the Vampire Warrior, aka Grand Girl, makes an appearance. But I swear, Jack, I must have sneezed and everyone was bloody. It was super quick. I got a bite of my sandwich. And everyone was like bleeding from their faces. I'm like, okay, we're getting this hardcore stuff off the rip.
Yeah, I think that's all they all did. They just got bloody noses. It's something they've always had to deal with.
Dryer in Vegas.
But yeah, these guys went blood right away. They got brutal. This was, a lot of people said this was their match of the night here. I believe Ricky Zaldivar coming in with match of the night for him here. And Armando saying this is where business picked up. This
I
part
also
of the,
agreed.
I absolutely agreed with that. I love this one. I thought I had no idea how it was going to turn out. So it was very fun to watch in that regard. This entrance, I'm not a lawyer, Flobo, but they had the Brood written there. They had the entrance the same. I think they have a shirt now that says the Brood on it. Gangrel's there. I feel like they are skating a fine line with copyright here.
Yeah, I know. There's probably like a legal team war room underneath Connecticut right now going through the tape. Yeah, I didn't think it was possible. I thought for sure they would either have to be lapsed copyrights or trademarks, because if there were anything close to being used before, there'll be cease and desist letters going left and right. So I don't know. I was a little bit surprised.
Maria saying, I would like to see Christian join Adam and Gangrel. I'm with you, Flobo. I get it. I think there's a... Christian's just doing too great of work right now. I get the idea of like, it would have been cool to see all three of them together again, but Christian is just too far on another level, Flobo.
I'm with that. I mean, I'm a big Christian fan. Whereas, ironically, up edging Christian, I was a Christian guy from day one. And the fact the world is now coming around to Christian now means the world to me. This stuff here is golden. And he's definitely a talent on AEW that can be heated up to the main event, as we see tonight. Could be your curtain jerker opening contest. You need guys that valuable. I don't think you have that same mystique when you're the second guy playing in Edge's system here, to take an analogy from sports.
Would you like to see the Gangrel regularly on AEW going forward?
No. If I had a chance to do it, yes. I'll give it a special match, maybe at All In or All Out. You can have the big Brood entrance. Everyone walks in and everyone goes their separate ways. Cope has a story about being able to say he can still hang with the guys at his age. Cage is doing the patriarchy. I love Gangrel, but them being together would be a nostalgia act where, frankly, AEW needs to look forward than going back to a time that's 30 years in the rearview mirror.
No fanging and banging. Now, I know you had we talked about maybe contender for Adam Copeland next, but if you had the full book instead of just looking at what to do with MJF, who do you think his next contender should be?
That's a hard one. I mean, it's not, I mean, I'm not saying anything new or fresh here, but there's just so many championships, right? I would love to see Copeland versus Okada, but then that would have to be title for title. So I'm not sure how that would work, or even Trent, but he lost this week. So I don't really know what to say here. But I do think that for Copeland to work in the TNT, he has to be a workhorse, but it has to be an answer soon. So I'm copping out formally.
Yeah. Formally. Nice. Everyone in the chat, let us know who you want the next contender to be for Adam Copeland's championship. Because it's a weird mix of there's a lot of opportunity and there's not a lot of opportunity for people who could challenge him. We got Roderick Strong and MJF in here, maybe Wardlow or Miro, Samoa Joe, Adam Copeland, Orange Cassidy makes a lot of sense to me.
Does it? I don't know. Like, it's weird because, like, Orange Cassidy was international champion. Is that higher or lower than the TNT title? You have Samoa Joe as a former AEW champion. Does he want to be TNT? Like, I do think ultimately there has to be some division or ranking to know which one is more valuable to go after. So until that day, every feud will have to be a personal issue until you figure that out.
Yeah, I agree. I would love there to be kind of more of a hierarchy. I look at, WCW is always world title, U.S. title, TV title, and then for a while, the hardcore title. I would like to know what the hierarchy is. The reason I say Orange Cassidy is because he just won a big match, and so he seems like a likely contender at this time.
Yeah. Hey, wasn't the time when Lance Storm had three of those WCW titles, like the Saskatchewan Hardcore International title?
Yeah, he had the Canadian championship and the 205 kilos or 100 kilos and under championship.
So dumb.
Oh, Scorpio Sky coming back soon. That actually is probably my favorite of the picks here. But Hangman also in there, Jay White as well. So Okada, let them unify. I would love some unifying stuff. I just don't think that's going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
That's one of those things we can all ask for it. It's not going to happen. So just, deal with it. Now we get to one. This was a really fun one. Probably in a lot of ways, my favorite match of the night. TBS Championship, Willow Nightingale versus Mercedes Moné. Willow defeated Mercedes in New Japan and injured her. So now Mercedes is in AEW and Mercedes believes she is the face of TBS. Crowd is hot for this one. It absolutely delivers until Stokely and Statlander distract the ref. It causes Willow to potentially not get the win. And eventually, Mercedes lifts Willow and hits the money maker and becomes the new TBS champion. After Stoke is mad at Willow, but Statlander pushes him down and then turns on Willow as well. Flobo, let's talk about Mercedes first. This is one of those matches where I think that we've got to break each part of it down. We can't just say, what'd you think of the match? The match is great, I think, but Mercedes, I want you to talk about her debut now that she's had her match, now that she's champion, AEW's approach here. What are your thoughts on it now that we have a better picture of what the debut looks like?
It's a hard thing because the short answer is it was disappointing. But to be fair to Mercedes Moné is that she put herself in a position where you would have to do a whole lot to over-deliver. You were considered one of the highest free agent signings and you were pretty much scarce on the run-up to this championship match. You get the title match. Even though you're the one injured, you're also the aggressor here. You had to basically put everyone on notice. Now, the match itself was great. We'll talk about what Willow's contributions was. I do think Willow became a star tonight. But ultimately, Mercedes Moné had to do two things. One, let the wrestling world know she can still go. Done. Check. The second thing, more tricky, is that this is the next chapter of the evolution of Mercedes Renato. And I do think that part still is the jury still out on that side. There was a lot of Sasha Banks isms today. Didn't feel like a different expression or a different character. That theme song does not hit the way her last one, though. So there's a lot of presentation things I wish could be tweaked. But at the end of the day, this was a really good match and a very good showing for the women's division overall here tonight.
I think debuting a big star is tough. It's tougher than I think a lot of people think. There are people who say that she should have wrestled sooner. I don't know what her health situation was, assuming she was healthy since she debuted. A lot of people said she should have debuted sooner instead of dragging out this long. Other people, when that happens, they say, why did you have a match so quick? You should have built it up for a longer period of time. And you see examples of that in places like Cody Rhodes coming out and instantly being in a WrestleMania match versus a Jade Cargill, who was around for a very long time before her first match. And I use the other company to show that it's in all companies. This isn't an AEW thing. I think it's a tricky thing.
Absolutely.
I think in hindsight, I do think we should have seen her wrestle sooner, because I think that you don't get the complete package of what Mercedes is unless you see her in the ring as well.
Sure.
So I think that maybe not sooner, but I mean, like, that the time period between her being in AEW and her wrestling should have been shorter, if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
Going in that regard. I think, though, that said, now that she's wrestled, in my opinion, she delivered. I think that she did everything she needed to do in the ring. I think she shows she can wrestle. I think that will give her promos a little bit more oomph. As I said on Twitter, I felt like we finally got the full meal where we just kept getting appetizers for the past few weeks. I think that this now she can have some teeth in her promos. Instead of just "I'm the CEO," she can be like, "I'm the champion, I'm the face, I'm doing this stuff," instead of just, you know,
I'm
remember me.
Hey, what's up? But I'm with you. And so I gotta give a shout out to Roblox Daniel Bryan in the chat, who's like, "Where'd you have her wrestle?" I mean, you can really sell it, because her first match or her second match would have been an attraction. I mean, CM Punk did television matches when he was in AEW before or after, even on both sides of his pay-per-view appearances. The problem, I think, taking a step back, I don't want to drag AEW as a company, because look, the show was fantastic. I'm picking nits at this point, is that a lot of times talent show up on AEW and you have to do your own homework before. So like, it's never like a promo that says, "Here's where I started." There isn't really like a match you can say, "Oh, look, I saw this person today on Collision. That's how I feel." It's usually, "Hey, this person's bringing history from Japan. They're bringing history from Mexico. They're bringing history from another company." And I do think it makes sense for us, because we're all wrestling enthusiasts, but for fans of the AEW presentation or those who say, "Hey, look, maybe this is another version, another chapter of Mercedes," we were kind of robbed that. So we're basically taking everything we saw from her from other promotions into this matchup, and it's impossible to replicate that.
Yeah, Tommy O says crowd was hot for this one. And Roblox Daniel Bryan, I tonight's a great night, but I don't think she should have. I think she should have debuted in AEW closer to today, so we didn't have as many promos filling in time before this, if that makes sense. Because I think that one of her strengths is her wrestling. And so, like, let's get her in the ring so she can do that and do what she's good at instead of holding off on that part. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about this. And there, it's in the chat. Majestic Marie, props to Willow. This is the story to me, Flobo. Willow, by God, Nightingale. I said on Twitter, it's such a treat in pro wrestling. One of my favorite things in pro wrestling to watch is the ascension of someone going from being someone who, like, "Oh, they got potential," to like, "This is a star." And you said it a moment ago. I think she's risen to be a star, but I think tonight she showed she is an absolute superstar. Willow, with all due respect to the people who have come in, with all due respect to the people who have been there since day one, I feel like Willow is your key to a all-time competing with the big, like every other company out there, women's division. Willow is your superstar.
Yeah, Willow needs to be on all the souvenir cups and production trucks moving forward. And let's credit to Mercedes Moné. I was going to say this when I'm about talking her side. She is a very good star maker. There's nobody in the business better than making someone the star than Mercedes Moné. We saw that with Bianca Belair. We saw that with Bayley. We saw that with a lot of the Four Horsewomen as well. But Willow was a perfect mix of, "Hey, look, this division was frowned upon and shunned, but Willow was there. Week in and week out, there were matches that were okay, good, better. Willow was there. And now for a title match, even in defeat, had enough facials to hang with somebody who main evented WrestleMania." That to me says, that is the person you put all your chips on. You buy the merch, you buy the ring gear if it's available for charity, whatever. You buy in now because the stock is only going to go up.
It's not the exact same thing, but I think it's comparable that you had a true superstar come into your company, and this person that was a fan favorite took someone that everyone should have been cheering this person like crazy, and you turned them. And to me, I see very similar. It's not the same thing. I love analogies. Everyone's going to go crazy about it. Flowboat, just get ready. I am going to take a lot of arrows here. It reminds me a lot of Cody Rhodes and The Rock.
What?
Everyone was cheering for Cody. We wanted to see Cody do great. This big star came in. Someone that the world should... We should have been going nuts for The Rock. That's okay. The person we should be cheering for. But we loved Cody so much that we said, boo The Rock. We don't like you. We're booing you. We're sticking with our guy. I feel like that was similar to what happened. Willow was the person we loved. A massive star came in that we all should have been cheering for. But instead, because we loved Willow so much, we're like, no. We're sticking with Willow. Sorry, Mercedes.
You know dang well tomorrow on the internet, it's going to be wrestling host calls Willow Nightingale Cody Rhodes, and no one's going to understand what that means, man. I don't quite see it, but I like the fact you're being bold with it, man.
Whoa!
You're only smoking mirrors. I was really comparing Willow to Kofi Mania, not so much on the same scale, but here's somebody who's went to work every Friday at 11 p.m. at Rampage, a show that people started to ignore, and had these matches week after week after week, and was put in a position to basically be a placeholder, and we said, no. Let Willow do her thing, even though she has her own storyline now, which is great. Get the storyline in the women's division away from the title, which is a sign of a good health of a division. I think that's how I got on board organically. And plus, who doesn't love a little positivity in their wrestlers?
And that theme is a banger. Come on.
Better than Mercedes Monet. I'm sorry. Look, I know I don't want to be negative and a negative Nancy or a negative Nestor or whatever, but that CEO stuff needs to go. I need a new theme song because it sounds like four people are saying CEO in our track, and it almost sounds like a self-parody. You want me to believe you're a boss? You want me to believe you're a top of a company I haven't seen or heard from? Get me 500 employees fresh on a pizza party chanting your name. That's what I want, Mercedes.
What kind of pizza are we talking about?
Pepperoni, keep it classic, you know.
Listen, everyone says I'm on AEW's payroll. You send me a pepperoni pizza, I will chant CEO. Oh, CEO.
But seriously, Jack, that theme sounds like it's like four or five people saying CEO. Like, that sounds almost like a joke.
When it first dropped, it felt louder. I'll be honest. I don't know if that's because people were cheering along with it, but you're right. It doesn't sound as loud as it used to. Maybe it's because she's on the other side of the tracks now, as they say.
Yeah, the chant is in the song, Sal.
The chant is baked into the song. That's Maria agrees. 100% different entrance song. Mikey Ruckus on it.
Yeah.
AEW World Championship. Swerve Strickland versus Christian Cage. Christian has taken something from Swerve every week, from his hair to his blood. He avenged the attack on his son, Nick Wayne. And when Nana tries to, that's the setup. Swerve comes out with a great Warriors theme thing. At one point, Nana tries to stop Mama Wayne from using the belt. He ends up getting ejected. Swerve gets beat up by everybody. And eventually the patriarchy gets ejected. That doesn't stop Nick Wayne from coming back and sneak attacking Swerve. Swerve survives, and Nana chases Wayne off with a big pipe. A stomp on the announce table, a pair of house calls, Swerve retains. I thought this was a... I feel like the Cody Rhodes versus AJ Styles, the backlash match where you kind of know how it's going to go, but you need to have the match anyways. I thought in that case, this totally delivered. What were your thoughts on this one?
First of all, I'm a little offended, Jack. I'm a little offended because your boy Fobito's from Brooklyn, New York. Greatest city on the planet. The Warriors is a cult classic. And some guy from Tacoma is wearing a Warriors ring gear setup. I am offended. You Pacific Northwesterners are ruining everything. No, the match was great. The match was fantastic. I love it. I'm on board. I'm not doing the whole na-na thing, but Christian Cage held his own. This right here was a good one. It was a banger.
Hey. If you want to do something about the Warriors reference, you got to come out and play. I love that movie. It's so good.
Yeah. Not Tacoma.
Can you dig it? If you guys haven't seen the Warriors, go watch it. It's great. I think that's a movie they could remake and make it really good. Or
will it be
ruin
even more colorful? Like, will there be even more outlandish gangs? Or would you try to do it realistic, gritty reboot style?
Oh, no, you make it, you go over the top, baby. The baseball furies do not change. So you fair. do not change. By the way, I'm going full Glenn here and referencing something no one has probably seen because of this movie. The baseball furies were terrifying in that movie.
Oh, yeah, they were. Yeah, nighttime, face paint. Come on.
Baseballs on their face, baseball bats chasing people. Yeah, oh, my God. Night. Like, I was like, oh, my God, these guys are terrifying.
Yeah, that's my hometown. Terrifying gangs, base and face paint.
Where did they have to get back to? Like, to Coney Island?
Yeah. Well, it's funny because, like, when I was a kid, my mom was like, hey, if you ever get lost, take the train downtown. Like, it was like a fable. If you see Coney Island, you've gone too far.
Dante from the Bronx to Coney. I love it. Yeah. Tut Graf said they had the bats too. They were terrible. Exactly. One guy, the way he held the bat, he held it like Ric Flair held the title. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like,
dude, you don't want to get.
I remember seeing that guy's like, oh my God, that guy's terrifying.
Forget Jason. You don't want to trip with a baseball furies on your behind, dude. That's game. That's game over, man.
Yeah, I'll take Jason any day. This guy's terrifying.
Yeah,
because he's running after you. I said Steinbrenner tried to trap.
Now that's the cut I like. Oh my God.
Oh man. And sorry, we'll save all this for the Warriors podcast later. There's been a lot of chatter about Swerve as the champion and his presentation. Do you feel like this helps solidify him as the champ in this match?
I would say yes, but they need to do more. My problem specifically, I don't know what everyone's saying online. My problem specifically with Swerve is that he gets busted open fairly easily, but so did Moxley, not a big deal. And his matches were in the middle of the show, hour one main events, which is not the end of the world, but I do think if you're the champion and you have the most important championship, either you start the show or you end the show. And he didn't even end the show tonight. Obviously, you can't because you had an Anarchy in the Arena match that always has to end. But again, my problem was if he is going to be your guy, trust him to be your guy. That said, enough time was tonight. Christian Cage is a former world champion with the NWA title himself. So all the tools were there for him to be successful. I like it, but I want more of that, please.
Is what's next with Christian, or what's next for Christian?
Christian has to come back down with the card. As much as I like them, you really can't have him hang around too much without him being stale, right? The patriarchy, it's a cool idea. I think it works and it preys on other people in that mid card as well. But if you have him around there being a foil for too long, it becomes just a bad idea. You know, you don't want to be in a part of a crew that loses all the time, like Death Triangle, Jack.
We got Adonde saying Christian Swerve's chemistry was great. Fifth General TV says they don't promote him like a main champ. Maria is saying I've been loving Swerve's reign from the start. I'm a big Swerve fan, have been for a very long time. Make no bones about it. I think that he's great, but I agree with you. I think he should be starting the show or ending the show. And that's not just a wrestling thing. That's just story. You remember the beginning, you remember the end. Those are the most important things. Most movies, when you think about him, you think about the middle or you think about the end, unless some funny thing happened in the middle. Then you're like, oh yeah, that part. But for the most part, you think about the middle or that you think about the beginning and the end. And so I would like to see him opening shows and closing shows, or at least one or the other. Anarchy in the Arena. I will say, I think it's okay. He didn't go on last tonight. Cause I do think Anarchy in the Arena is like a, you kind of got to close with this. This is all about the Elite trying to take over AEW and the wrestlers of AEW standing up for the company. Starts the battle over music. Jack Perry murders Darby Allin, who returns shortly after to fight Okada, only to get sent to the Brood under the stage. Perry then returns and grabs Tony Khan, and Darby comes out with a flamethrower and murders Jack Perry. We get an exploding chair. Darby gets hung upside down and super kicked in the face. Bryan Danielson shows up and beats up everyone. He can't fight him off forever, though. And as the crowd is begging for someone to help Darby, and Danielson tries but just simply can't stand up to help him, Jack Perry, the scapegoat, knocks out Danielson, and the dominance of the Elite continues.
Yeah.
I'll let you go first. Yeah.
Well, the main winners of this match were the fans. Love the chants here. The We Want Music stuff was great, and the Please Help Darby was kind of sad, but also pretty funny. Because poor Darby's like a crash test dummy. Anarchy in the Arena had a risk going in. It could have been something unnecessary. It could have been another gimmick. It came about in a time where there were cinematic matches, right? And so it could be Zambonis and all kind of things. They're in a different venue. They're in a smaller venue. So there isn't like a football field at their disposal. But they found a way to evoke the absolute mayhem of music changes and levers and weapons and have it in a confined space, which tells me this match can survive year after year in location after location. So to get that, I got what I wanted. It was brutal. It was fun. There was a lot of things in there I liked. It was a good way to end the show.
I think that I love it. So going into it, I'm going to be honest. I was very secular belt AEW. A match of two murders and neither were the finish.
He kicked out. That is golden. Can I give you a super chat? That was great. It's $2. You deserve
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that might be a chat of the night. So going into this, pull back the curtain. I was very tired. I was like, okay, like this show's been long, but these matches, this Anarchy in the Arena, is so over the top and just so silly. I have the time of my life watching it. It's so dumb and I love it. I know there's probably wrestling purists. I got a feeling it's like I got a feeling Jim Cornette's gonna not like it. Eric Bischoff's not gonna like it. All those guys aren't gonna like it. I loved it. This is just so stupid and fun. I love that Jack Perry tried to run over Darby Allin. I love the flamethrower. I love that all that stuff. I think the big winner here, obviously, is Jack Perry. I mean, sure. One, I think Jack Perry getting Tony Khan again shows that, like, there's a little bit of, like, this guy's dangerous. Like, he's going after Tony Khan. No one else has ever gone after Tony Khan. He actually does. And I think that in the end, him being the guy that stands up and takes out Bryan Danielson as Bryan Danielson physically cannot do anymore and gets the pin, I think made him just seem like such a star and such a threat and such a dangerous person. It felt to me like this whole match was really to present Jack Perry in that way. And you'll notice you didn't really see much of him throughout it. It wasn't like he didn't get beat up much. I mean, he got lit on fire. You know, whatever.
Slight detail there.
But other than that, I thought he came off looking great. So that said, the comeuppance is still to come. Like, we haven't really seen him get beat up for what he's done. And I think that's brilliant.
Yeah, I'm with that. I think that Jack Farmer, no, he sucks.
Hey! Yeah.
Jack Perry ended up being the big star tonight here, to your point. But let me ask you this question full circle. Would Anarchy in the Arena still hit if it was in a two-hour tight show? Or because we were so loopy and tired, we were okay with something so off the wall?
I think it'd be better with a two-hour show. I think two-hour weekly, three-hour pay-per-view is my favorite. Actually, that 1 hour NXT UK or Lucha Underground.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Chef's kiss. Chef's 42 kiss. Minutes all I need, baby. I'm in it.
Oh,
out.
Man.
Yeah.
Perfect. They nailed it.
You have no man.
So Maria says Jack Perry is my pick for most improved wrestler.
Who's in the nominees? Because he spent a couple months away. Like, it wasn't like he was in the entire year. He took a break.
But yeah, I will say, this is again where I think a Nigel would definitely go after the other commentators, because again, they're like, oh my god, they're gonna kill Darby Allin. Again, this guy just tried to light everybody on fire. Why are we suddenly so concerned about him when he came out the flamethrower? We're like, yeah, get him, Darby. You gotta have a little bit of like someone to be like,
please.
Oh, it was great when he did it, but now the other way, you gotta someone. That's where Jesse Ventura was great, and I think that's where Nigel McGuinness is great.
Nigel McGuinness is the man.
And he makes me laugh. I will say it was kind of a funny sign off from Excalibur at the end, where he was like, it looks like it's endless darkness for us as the Elite are unbeatable. Anyway, it's their 5-year anniversary and we're not stopping now. More pro wrestling coming up.
He knows who signs his checks. He hates it, but he has the balls. You got to eat, bro. Lucha masks aren't cheap.
Oh man, so this was a fun show, but it's getting late. I know that it's super, super late for a lot of you guys, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate you all staying with us. Sonny, Nathan, Tuck, Graf, Maria, Solve, Armando, Ricky, everyone else. Flobo, tell me, I guess, any final thoughts on tonight, and let me know any predictions going forward, where they can find, people can find you online, just anything. This is kind of your last chance to get any words in.
Yeah, I'm trying to still figure out whether or not Double or Nothing is the big show of the year for AEW. I think this one here is a good candidate to be that one, but it also could be All In and or Out. So let me know what you think. But I enjoyed it. It was long, but it was good. I'm over available on the X at Flobo Voice. And Jack and I usually work together. I think we're doing a thing tomorrow on the Raw after show for Wrestling Inc. But other than that, I'm not around. I'm chilling.
Yeah, we're doing the after show right here on Wrestling Inc. for Monday Night Raw. I thought this was a great show. Again, I prefer them a bit shorter, but at the end of the day, there's nothing in the show that I was like, this was a bad thing. Everything I liked, I like it short. I got a short attention span. Twitter, blame Twitter if you don't like it. Blame TikTok. There's a lot of things you can blame. Blame that. Don't blame me. I'm innocent. But I did enjoy the show. I thought a lot of great stuff was coming into it. I think a lot of stuff is going to be great coming out of it. I want to, again, appreciate everyone. Aaron Mick, who's been here for a very long time. Tommy O, coming in right after the show. And everyone else, you guys are all the best. Please like, comment, share, subscribe. And Saul's asking, who's on tomorrow? It'll be myself. It'll be Flobo. And I don't know who the third.
Jimmy Cordes.
Who's the third man?
It's Jimmy Corderas.
Jimmy Corderas is the third man. Instead of surprises, we like to promote. That's what we're going to tell you.
Exactly.
Who's going to be there? So we'll be there. So check that out. Follow me at Real Jack Farmer for all of my stuff all across social media. That's how late I am. I'm getting my own catchphrase messed up, Flobo. Make sure to check that out. Follow at Wrestling Inc. for all the latest wrestling news. Check out the After Raw show, and we will see you there. Again, like, comment, share, subscribe. Love you guys. You're all great. I'm going to hit the end stream button right now.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.